Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a big Monday. They're all big, Dom. How you doing, little buddy?
Hey, Crudy, I'm good, man. Evan, how you doing on the board? Our fair audience, happy Monday to us all.
What are you doing, stretching? You got to stretch before the big show. Where'd you go to pull something? What are you doing over there?
Oh, man, it was a rough weekend, man. Working out, partying a little bit. You know, it's just this whole body just doesn't run like it used to, Crudy.
You know, I can lay on one side, like, during the night. I'm a side sleeper.
Yeah.
And if I lay on one side, like, too long, I wake up half my body sore. I got to alternate all night long.
Well, you can't. You're not a big lay on your sleep on your stomach guy, are you, Crudy?
What sort of weirdo would sleep on their stomach? No, I'm a side sleeper. I told you that. I got a body pillow. You know, I travel with my own pillow often. I'm sort of the princess and the pea.
Yes.
My wife often makes fun of me, but, you know.
It's not just your wife. Lots of people make fun of you, Crudy. Most of the time we do it to your face, man.
Dominic, I'm going to ignore that remark. John Nichols. Our friend, the Cap Times, the Nation's joining us about 4:30 today. John's going to pick up my recent advocacy, citizen referendums.
Binding citizen referendums. Very important.
People got all sorts of referendums they want to put on what, Wisconsin spring election. Apparently, it could be a big deal, this spring election, I hear, Dom. Heard the boys on the Devil's Advocates talking about it, said it's a big deal.
So it must be a big deal. And of course, it's from the Republican standpoint. I've seen some pushback a little bit talking about the referendums that John Nichols is going to talk about. Remember all the hippies put the, you know, weed referendum on, and that was a contributor towards Scott Walker's loss, right? Well, I would distinguish this in different ways. Number one, that was truly citizen actions. I mean, those were people in individual communities walking around, you know, getting signatures, trying to get this non-binding ballot, a referendum on the ballot. What the Republicans have done is that they've done it top-down, right? They did it from the state level, so now it's just there.
And
they could do the same thing. They could actually make those laws if they wanted to.
But you think the citizens care about how it gets on the ballot? I mean, all you want to do is turn on your right-wing, righty-whitey talk radio audience. That's all they're trying to do.
I think those that would compare what the Republicans are doing right now with their referendums and comparing that to individual communities and members walking around collecting ballots on a local basis, I don't think those are the same kinds of things. Now, the end result was, yes, some referendums. But when the weed referendum, that wasn't statewide. And that was only in the communities in which they hustled, worked, and got people to sign the docs.
No, that's true. 16, 17 maybe. But here's the deal. The Republicans just put their referendum, their turnout the vote effort, on every ballot on the spring election.
Yes.
Very efficient, these Republicans. And, of course, again, it's about turning out the base. But let me ask you, Dom, I think the overwhelming issue of this elective cycle, and as long as abortion is illegal in the state of Wisconsin, I think Dobbs, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, how can that not be the driving, engaging issue of this elective cycle and probably a few thereafter until we get some sort of autonomy for women in the state of Wisconsin over their own bodies once again?
Well, and I think, you know, these conversations about these other topics and the referendums that Republicans want, they want to talk about everything else except Dobbs, except a woman's right to choose, except for an antiquated law that was put into place before the women in this country even had the right to vote. That's what the Republicans, that's what MAGA are pushing right now. That's what we have in the state of Wisconsin. So they don't want to talk about it. They know that it's bad for them. So absolutely we should talk about it, and absolutely it is the pivotal issue in this election and will continue to be, as you say, Crudy, until it gets overturned.
And over the weekend, there was a citizen's action that happened at the Wisconsin State Capitol. Reporting Wisconsin Public Radio, I found it at the online daily, urbanmilwaukee.com. March on the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade draws attention to the state Supreme Court race. Yeah, the one in Wisconsin. The headline here, more than 1,000 at the state capitol abortion rally. At least 1,000 people rallied at the Wisconsin State Capitol on Sunday to demand an end to the state's ban on abortions and mark the 50th anniversary of the passage of Roe v. Wade. The landmark legal decision granted women a constitutional right to abortion. How do you take back a constitutional right? But I read on. And was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court last summer. It was part of a nationwide day of action put on by the Women's March, an organization that mobilized in the wake of the election of former President Donald Trump. Similar events took place across the country, but the rally in Madison was different. It was the flagship event. Organizers said intended to draw attention to the upcoming state Supreme Court election, which could flip the court's ideological balance. Abortion supporters hope that electing a liberal-leaning judge will help them overturn Wisconsin's abortion ban. And that's why national abortion rights activism is focusing on states and particularly on Wisconsin. Jennifer Knox, the National Organizing Director for Working Families Power, told Public Radio, "This is the single place in 2023 that really does reflect that abortion rights are on the ballot. The single most important thing that people can do across the country is invest some of their time over the next 2.5 months in Wisconsin." I invest my entire heart, soul, and life in this state, Tom. Now, Knox's organization was one of about 20 organizations sponsoring the day's events. The day kicked off with chanting and a rally at below freezing temperatures at the University of Wisconsin's Library Mall. Protesters then made their way up the West State Street towards the Capitol, where national and local leaders gave speeches. People waved hand-painted signs saying things like, "Abortion is normal. Keep your beliefs out of our briefs." Get it, Dom? At the procession, some were activists from MARCH, M-A-R-R-C-H, the Madison Abortion and Reproductive Rights Coalition for Healthcare, which was formed in the immediate aftermath of the repeal of Roe v. Wade and was the local partner of the day's event. Now, Dom, here's what I would say, though. We were in D.C. for the Women's March the day after Donald Trump was inaugurated. And obviously, a lot of people had already booked their trips, thought it was going to be to celebrate the inauguration of Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And it became a pink hat wearing millions of human being protest in the nation's capital. One of the greatest movements I've ever seen. But back here in the great state of Wisconsin, my wife, she was marching on State Street. I believe your wife also was up marching somewhere, right? Talking about in 2016?
Oh, yeah. Yes, she was.
Well, sorry, didn't mean to have to drag it out of you.
No, she was not, nor did I this particular time around. But yes, many more people were engaged then, seemingly, than now.
Well, that's... I guess if I was going to react aloud, a little bit of an underwhelming action this weekend. And we were kind of late to the party, Dom. I wish we'd have thrown a little more weight behind promoting the event. But it wasn't really well publicized. It wasn't in our faces. We didn't hear about it till late. So it's unfortunate if this is the representation that Madison makes, that Wisconsin makes on a national level. I would say a little underwhelming. We've seen protests of 100,000 people in this town. We've seen days without Latinos where they had 10 to 20,000. Hell, I've seen when they marched out of East High School and the kids shut down East Washington Ave and marched upon that Capitol. We saw thousands of kids do that. Well, all these people, all these same people are affected by the overturning of Dobbs, or their daughters or their wives or their girlfriends or someone they know is. So I'm not sure why the low turnout. Perhaps the publicity is not what it was. And I don't think this issue is any less meaningful to the women of the state of Wisconsin than it was in November in the midterms, Tom. But I got to tell you, I've seen some big protests, and this was not a big protest, all things considered.
I think you're probably right. And you know, given that, you know, we didn't hear about it, we read the news pretty often, you know, try to stay up on those things. We became aware of it late. I'm not clear. My friends and relatives that are, you know, involved in these kinds of things were aware of it either. So maybe it was a lack of promotion to a large degree, but certainly the issue, the topic, Dobbs, this is abortion, is not going away. And what I'm most concerned about, what I'm most hopeful for, is that those people show up when it's time, when it counts in the ballot box. They show up at the primary. They show up in the general in April, and they vote for candidates who support women's right to reproductive health care of their own choice. That's where it really matters. So, I mean, I get it. You know, it's winter, it's tough, and poorly promoted. Still 1,000 more than not. So I appreciate that. And those that organized it and put it out, good. Let's stay on it. Let's keep talking about it. Let's keep it in front and center. This is very important. But the ultimate and most important number will be how many people come out and vote in April.
And I will admit, Tom, although I feel like I was busy doing important stuff for Civic Media, this little network, it's a 7-day-a-week endeavor. I was working all weekend, and I did not make my way up to the Wisconsin State Capitol. I did watch some of the live streams, but I can tell you, I've seen big actions, and this was not the larger sort of protest action I've seen many times on the southwest side of the Wisconsin State Capitol. You know what? I can't wait to move this little endeavor, Civic Media. We're moving to State Street. Next time they come a-marching, we'll be a-broadcasting right in the window. Dayton and State Street, right on the corner. The new home of this little radio endeavor, both the station and the greater network. Give us like a week or two. We're moving now.
Nice.
It's going to be moving day soon. We might go on the road this week. I'll get back to you on that. Normally, I'm the one dragging you along, but, you know, I got my truck going into the shop, Dom, so, you know, I'm going to have to rent the car to party with you. It's the best way, man. Treat it like a rental car. Come back. More Devils.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. Love that Start Me Up, Ebony. I used to roller skate to that song.
I did not. I don't know if you know this, but Crudy, not a big roller skating dude.
Shocking. Shocking, I tell you.
I am so clever on my feet, you would think I'd be excellent at roller skating. But as fate would have it, I'm not.
No. Okay. I'll take your word for it, Mike.
844-967-2789. Chris from Sun Prairie, our friend. Chris, I was watching your live stream in part on Sunday, coverage of the Women's March from the Wisconsin Capitol. How are you doing, sister?
Hey, Chris.
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm very disappointed at the turnout, but not surprised. I don't know what happened, but I do know that, like you said, it was not well advertised. I wasn't hearing about it from many places. But what I did hear, too, was I heard some people saying it was canceled. So it was going around in groups that it was happening, and then it was going around in some groups that it was canceled. There was a lot of confusion about it. And what I got, and I don't have a lot of insight on it, because like I say, it really wasn't going around a lot, but it seems like what happened was the national group probably was not in touch with local groups. You know, that's what I got out of it. If you're coming to Madison, just a hint for anybody on national groups, if you're coming to Madison to do an event, get in touch with the local people here. We'll help you out, you know. We'll bring people to the Capitol. We know how to do this here. So, you know, if you want to come here and protest in our capital and fill that square, call us up. Let us know you're coming because we'll bring people.
Well, you know? We'll meet you out by the palm trees, right, Chris?
yeah, right. Right, we will. But I think that might have been the problem, but I'm not sure. I really haven't been able to figure it out. I've been trying to. I've been talking to a few people, but it just really seems to me like there were some really bad communication.
Chris, the general sentiment, though, do you think this is going to be, you know, maintained being the number one issue in this state and perhaps in the country in this next election cycle?
Oh, gosh. It's so hard to say. There's so many bad things going on, but... I'd say it's one of them, you know, the whole debt ceiling thing. And now in the state, I don't know, the state kind of has me kind of worried with this whole idea of, you know, the taxes that they're going to change. That's got me kind of frightened.
But Chris, that's not going to happen without the consent of the governor. Unfortunately, I think there is a compromise number he could consent to. But as a spring election, Chris, the only issue is not really the debt ceiling. I mean, this could be disastrous, and I think it would be for Republicans optically. They don't know how to govern. But I don't know that that's going to affect the spring Supreme Court race. And that's the election that's on the, you know, on the front burner right now. The 21st is the primary. April 4th is the general. And the soul of the court is on the ballot, Chris. And I got to wonder, are women going to come out and vote, be it Mitchell, be it Protasiewicz? Are they going to vote for someone that might give them back their constitutional rights?
I certainly hope so. And I think the poor turnout at the Capitol should be a red flag for us and let us know that women are not hearing what's going on. And we really better light it up right now and let women know that the Supreme Court election is coming up and that they need to turn out. You know, if people weren't there, I don't know. It's definitely a number one issue for a lot of people. But we're right down the street from the college. Where were the college women? I was really surprised at that. You know, I would have thought that they would have filled the rotunda, but they weren't. There weren't young women there.
No Badger game, no nothing, Chris, that I could see. No Packer playoff game, nothing of the sports sort that, you know, some kids and adults get wrapped up in, but nothing this weekend. I had no sports on the agenda. Badgers tip off later this afternoon, though. They're going to interrupt us in certain Badger markets, WFHR and others. But you know that if you're listening to the Badgers right now. Joanne from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joanne.
Great discussion. Quick call. The students weren't fully on campus yet. Classes are just starting now. I'm a university person. And people were just unpacking their stuff from break. On Sunday, so that is the reason. I mean, there's now beginning to be some life on campus, but you know, until the classes start, people aren't fully in involved with the campus area. So you hit on most of the main points. Bless you for covering it, but it's mostly because we just don't have the thousands and thousands of university students to buttress this rally. Something in March maybe will take off and be a big component of our progressive landscape, but right now not so much. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Joanne. I would also hope that maybe some of the high school kids would get involved if it was a little warmer weather, if it caught them. Like, my kid's off school today. I'm not even sure why. I just took the other one back to college last night here in Madison at Edgewood College, and I can tell you there were no cars in the parking lot. I know he's been on campus for about a week now, but it wasn't exactly jammed like it normally is. So I don't know where the hell these kids are. But they weren't at the Capitol on Sunday, and that's unfortunate. These are important issues. Fred, a little short on time before our fine guest, John Nichols, but Fred from Cottage Grove, if I can click the right button, you'll be next, sir. Welcome.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, no, real quick, wife and I were at the thing. It was a lack of education, advertising. Definitely. But one thing pointed out, talking about university students not being there, I didn't see any elected officials there speaking.
You mean Wisconsin electeds, like Tony Evers, a Josh Call, Sarah Fernandez, something like that.
I mean, there was
Rodriguez. No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Fred. I want to get the lieutenant governor's name right. My brain's sticking on a Monday.
All right.
Well, I've stolen all your thunder, Fred. Thanks for listening to it. Sarah Rodriguez, our esteemed lieutenant governor. Apparently, there weren't a lot of politicians speaking down. But we get the finest of guests and the finest of callers. But next is a guest, John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. He's a friend of ours. You're going to want to stick around. John Nichols is next. The Big Monday edition. Devil's Advocates, they're all big, I say.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Girl, you really got me going.
Devil's Advocates, Big Monday edition. It's getting bigger. Right now, we are joined by John Nichols from the Cap Times locally, from The Nation. Friend of ours, friend of yours. He's John Nichols. Welcome back, John. What do you got for us?
Hey, brother. Good to be with you. Hey, both of you.
John, I was reading your contribution at the Cap Times, and you, sir, like I, believe the citizens of the great state of Wisconsin should have some, let's call it, democratic voice in determining our futures. I don't feel like we have that now. Between the gerrymander and the lack of citizen referendums, John, we're stuck with any old crap they want to hand us. So how do we get from here to there? John, how do we get citizen referendums and not just these cynical political things Republicans are putting out there right now?
Yeah, very good question. Simple answer. You got to amend the Constitution of the state. And that may sound hard, but it's not really that tough. All you got to do is get Democratic control of the state house, state senate, governorship. And I know that sounds like a tall hill to climb, but it's happened within the last 15 years. And then you got to pass it twice in two legislative sessions. Now, there may even be some Republicans who would support this. So it's potentially a bipartisan measure. But the bottom line is actually very simple. Two legislative sessions agree to it. Then they put it on the ballot. Voters get to approve it in a referendum election, and we're off and running. And obviously, it takes some organizing, it takes some steps, but it can be done. It's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility.
I think it might be, though, John, because here's the problem. Even if will was there amongst our Republican friends across the aisle, even if we could get some sort of bipartisan coalition that wanted this, and I think we've lost our caller, Ebone, but even if we could do it. Dom, here's the problem. See, back. Make sure we got John back. Even if we could find the will amongst the actual rank and file legislators, it's still not going to be the will of Robin Voss. And as far as I can tell, the Assembly Speaker and the Senate leader, Devin LeMahieu, well, they control whatever hits the floor. They're not going to let this come to the floor. They're not going to allow a palace coup, real democracy. Hell no, John.
Not in this legislature, no. I mean, I think you got to accept that. But here's an interesting subtlety, my friend. In April, we're going to have an election for the state Supreme Court. If the state Supreme Court seat that's come open because Pat Rogensack is standing down, the very right-wing Chief Justice or former Chief Justice, if that seat flips to a more mainstream Wisconsinite, you know, somebody who is actually in favor of democracy, then you right there have a court that could revisit the issue of gerrymandering. If you revisit the issue of gerrymandering, you get new districts that are competitive. And suddenly, both Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu find themselves in a much more difficult position.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation Magazine. John, thanks for coming around. Well, the April election, very important. That's got to happen unless we're going to wait another 9 or 10 years for the next redistricting maps to try to get this referendum passed. But the motivation for lots of folks, John, is this, you know, Republican mega 1847 abortion law that would now hangs over the state of Wisconsin. And we just had in the city of Madison a reproductive rights rally. Paper said about 1,000. I've seen different numbers, but apparently a fairly small crowd. John, do you think that's indicative? Are you concerned about whether or not this issue is going to maintain its priority amongst the voters when it comes around to be April?
I think the April election is about a lot of issues, and certainly reproductive rights is one of them. I think another issue that is labor rights, because obviously this court made some of the big anti-labor decisions under Scott Walker, and a host of other issues, including some of these gerrymandering issues. So you got a lot in play. But as regards the issue of abortion rights, the evidence is that it remains an incredibly potent political issue. In 2022, there's simply no question that the abortion issue was very, very beneficial for the Democrats across the country, and there's pretty good evidence it was highly beneficial to Tony Evers in his reelection run, as well as to Josh Call and potentially some other contenders. There is good evidence now from, of all places, Virginia. They had a special election about a week or so ago for a state Senate seat and a Republican seat. The Democratic candidate was Aaron Rouse, the former Green Bay Packers player, who's gone back to his home state of Virginia. He was a city councilman in Virginia Beach. He ran for this state Senate seat in this overwhelmingly Republican seat. He ran videos of him when he used to play defense for the Packers. And he said, when I played football, I played defense. I want to go to the legislature to defend a woman's right to choose. Pretty blunt, no question what the issue was about. Aaron Rouse flipped that seat and assured that Virginia will not have an anti-abortion law go on the books. And so the evidence is that abortion rights remains a very, very viable, and again, as I said before, potent issue politically, which I do think, I think it has resonance at play in places across the country, but particularly in Wisconsin in April.
John, you mentioned labor. I know you're a big fan, big friend of labor. You brought me along over the years as well, John. I appreciate that. What's going on over in France, man? Million people, workers and students out there striking. I just want to lay that out there and get your thoughts and where you stand on what's going on in France.
Oh, it's really interesting. Look, as people know, France has some of the better labor laws in the world. There's also a lot of evidence that shows that French people are very happy. They have a pretty good life. One of their laws says that you can retire at the age of 62. You're not required to retire at 62, but you can. We used to be heading that way in the United States. We were kind of lowering the retirement age, and it looked like we might get there. Now, our Republican friends have been raising retirement age. They want to have us retire later and later, getting it up to 67, 68. In France, the proposal was put forward to raise the retirement law or age from 62 to 64. People are out in the streets, millions of folks across the country, saying they don't want to do that. They want to be able to retire at 62. And that, I know there's some folks in America who say, oh, wow, that's pretty early to retire. But you understand, if you're in a job that you love, you can work for as long as you want. And also, if you're in a job that doesn't require a lot of you, that makes total sense. But a lot of those people who are out on the streets are people who have tough, physically demanding jobs. Everything from miners to factory workers to folks who work in nursing homes and places like that. And I can tell you, my dad was in a nursing home some years ago, and he was in his late 80s, but his attendant, the guy who helped him, was in his early 60s, and this guy in his early 60s had to help people out of their beds. It was actually a very physically demanding job, and I remember talking to him and him saying, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this. This is one of the things that we need to understand. There are a lot of people who have jobs where retirement at 62, or at least dialing back what they do, makes a lot of sense. And that's what the French were saying.
They're simply saying, you know, we ought to have that as an option in our lives. And frankly, in the broader sense, what the French are fighting for is an ability for workers to define the laws that relate to work rather than it to always be done by corporations.
John, I got to be honest with you. French politics, not my strong suit. Madame Brault would be so disappointed. Je m'appelle Devil's Advocates with John Nichols. I don't even know how to say with John Nichols. John, let's turn it back to the great state of Wisconsin if we could.
Sure.
There will be referendums on the ballot this spring. Only these are the sort of red meat, get out the Republican base, the most cynical sort of referendums, because they don't really ask questions that are meaningful. They don't really change the outcome, as near as I can tell. All they're for is to hopefully get out a few more conservative voters and hold the Rogensack seat. So, John, let me ask you, how do you put every Republican-supported referendum on the docket and completely ignore a big issue like abortion rights, let's say?
Yeah. Well, you do that by being Robin Boss. That's easy. You know, Robin Boss plays politics, right? I mean, he sees his power as Speaker of the State Assembly as being actually very limited. Instead of, you know, having an expansive power to promote democracy, to do all sorts of interesting and bold things, he sees his job as Speaker of the State Assembly to benefit conservative and Republican candidates, period. That's what he does. And in this case, that's what these referendums are about. One referendum is on bail, you know, setting bail. Another referendum is on making people who are receiving public assistance work more so before they can get public assistance. You know, each of these are old school issues. They're ones that the Republicans and even some Democrats have had out there in the past. I frankly don't think these referendums are going to have a lot of impact. Now, if you put an abortion referendum, an advisory referendum on abortion rights on the ballot, that would have bumped turnout. It would have bumped turnout, intriguingly enough, by both pro-choice and anti-choice voters. I think you would have seen people who don't like abortion rights, they definitely would have shown up for it, but so would people who support abortion rights. And so not putting that referendum on the ballot was really evidence that Boss is not interested in getting a real sense of where the people of Wisconsin are at on these issues. So he's willing to put a bail referendum or this welfare referendum on the ballot, even though he knows where he stands on that issue. And he's not at all interested in, you know, where the people of Wisconsin are going to be one way or the other. So this is pure politics. And again, I don't think it's going to have as much of an impact as some people think. For one reason, my sense is that the candidates for Supreme Court are going to be reasonably agreed on bail issues. I don't think you're going to see a huge difference there. They may have some nuance to it, and I respect that. But I just don't think that it's going to be the kind of issue that transforms the race. I do think the Supreme Court race is going to be huge, but I think it's going to be the driver of turnout, not these referendums that Robin Boss put on the ballot. Again, if you put the abortion referendum on the ballot, that would have driven turnout.
John, I always worry about spring elections, man. I mean, Dems can barely turn out theirs in the midterms. These spring elections, there is a more established get-out-the-vote mechanism for the right. It's right-wing talk radio. It's 81 stations, John. And while we're plucky and growing all the time here at Civic Media, my greatest fear is that Republicans always turn out theirs, and the Democrats only seem to do so in the presidential.
Well, the evidence of that came back a few years ago when you had the race for the Supreme Court seat that came open a while back, Shirley Abrahamson's seat. And you had a Democrat, or I shouldn't say a Democrat, it was a nonpartisan race. You had a candidate who was backed by a lot of progressives and by a lot of Democrats running. And then you had a lesser-known candidate, Brian Hagedorn, who was the conservative candidate in that race. And Hagedorn won by 6,000 votes. And so your point is well taken. The machine, if you will, on the Republican side is pretty good at turning out spring election voters. But I will point out two other elections which bookcase that 2019 election, and that's
the 2018 election for Supreme Court that Rebecca Dowlett won, and the 2020 election for Supreme Court that Jill Karofsky won. In both of those cases, spring elections went very, very much to the more progressive candidate. And so, I mean, I think what we're looking at this spring is a very, very competitive election. I don't have any doubt of that. I think you're going to see massive amounts of money come in, not just from Wisconsin, but from around the country. This is going to be, you know, one of the biggest elections of 2023. There's going to be a lot of national attention on it. There's going to be a lot of passion floating around it. And frankly, I think that will bump turnout on both.
John, no one breaks more passion than you. John Nichols, our friend. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
From here on in, you consider my ass retired.
I'm not allowed!
It's a very sad commentary on politics in this country.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open for your take at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I want to thank our most recent guest and excellent, excellent guest, John Nichols from the Cap Times, from the Nation, friend of ours. I saw from Ben Wickler. He shared a little missive from the New York Times. They're calling the headline, "A Colossal Off-Year Election in Wisconsin." I think that underestimates it. Yeah. It's a battle for the soul of the great state of Wisconsin. And really, it could accelerate by a decade, perhaps recasting the maps. There is nothing more semi-fascist than the gerrymander, the very partisan gerrymander, that have cast the maps to the point that Republicans, A, are assured of almost a two-thirds majority, regardless of the outcome of the election, and B, they stopped being responsive to their own constituents a long time ago.
And the not only are they not responsive, then what happens? Well, if they're not responsive to the degree that perhaps some of the hard right, the mega right, well, then you get primaried from the right. So what happens over time? Well, it causes the parties to become even that much more extreme. Because if you don't do it, the mega's gonna come up and primary you.
There are no Dale Schultz moderates anymore in the Republican Party. Here is what's being written. Reed Epstein, reporting on Wisconsin, arguably the most important election in America in 2023 is the April 4th contest for a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Well, I could have told you that, Reed. A little bit more. The winner will determine whether conservatives or liberals hold a 4-3 majority in a critical presidential battleground state. Now, let me slow down. Why would that matter? What's the Wisconsin Supreme Court got to do with the presidential battleground state? How is that relevant? Let me tell you how it's relevant. Here in the state of Wisconsin, in December of 2020, after the election, you know, the one Joe Biden won here by about 21,000 votes, Republicans tried every different path they could to overturn the will of the people. Hell, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said the legislature should just take control of federal elections. You know, the legislature should decide the will. Of course, they're gerrymandered to a two-thirds majority here, so they're going to pick Donald Trump. How convenient! That was the plan, or at least that was one of the plans put forth. The Wisconsin Supreme Court only rejected the Trump appeal to the outcome of the entire freaking election on a 4-3 vote. Joe Biden's election in Wisconsin was upheld by one vote. Well, we know about the three liberals on the court, and we know about the three conservatives on the court. One is retiring. And then we got the swing vote, the Hagedorn, the aforementioned, the former Scott Walker appointee. He found enough conscience to not overturn the will of the people of the state of Wisconsin in a presidential election. So we upheld democracy by one guy's vote. So that's why they point out, when you talk about the Supreme Court here in the state of Wisconsin, if it was different by one vote, theoretically, they could have overturned. They could have said, you know what? We're going to decertify Wisconsin's election as the former Supreme Court justice turned conspiracist special counselor Michael Gableman suggested we should. He made a public pronouncement. You should strongly consider decertifying the 2020 election results. He said that in 2022.
And Robin Voss, who hired him to look into this fake investigation of fraud, ended up, what, paying him $1 million and called him an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin when he fired him.
Dominic, a little bit of what's at stake. A colossal off-year election in Wisconsin. Again, Reed Epstein, New York Times. Wisconsin Democrats want to overturn the state's 1849 law prohibiting abortion in nearly all cases and in an aggressive legislative gerrymander drawn by Republicans. This election is liberals' last chance for a while. If conservatives win the seat, they will hold a majority on the court until at least 2026.
Oh, hell.
At least three more years, Tom. A little bit more. Conservatives have controlled the court since 2008. It's been 14 years and running. We're on 15 years, Tom. Though the court upheld Wisconsin's 2020 election results last year, it ruled drop boxes illegal, allowed a purge of voter rolls to take place, and installed redistricting maps drawn by Republican legislators despite the objections of Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat. The objections? Hell, he vetoed it. He vetoed it, and they overturned his veto. He has the right to veto, and then it went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they sent it back and said, well, come up with a different answer. So Hagedorn flipped. The aforementioned Hagedorn flipped his opinion and said, we're going to use the Republican map.
Curdy, not only that, the fight over democracy in Wisconsin won't be cheap. The campaign is likely to be the most expensive judicial election in U.S. history, with total spending expected to exceed $30 million. According to the Brennan Center for Justice, the most expensive campaign for one judicial seat came in 2004 in Illinois when $15 million was spent on a state Supreme Court race.
You're not factoring in inflation, Dom.
Who's running? The liberals are Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell, county judges from Milwaukee and Madison. The conservatives are Daniel Kelly, a former state Supreme Court justice, and Jennifer Doroy, Waukesha County judge. Curdy mentioned the nonpartisan primary on February 21st. The contours of the race are emerging, Reed Epstein writes of the New York Times. At a candidate forum last week, Protasiewicz called the state's legislative match rigged and assailed the Supreme Court decision last year overturning the federal right to an abortion. The conservative candidates are focused on messaging about crime. Yeah, a colossal off-year election here in Wisconsin. I don't know, we've been kind of talking about it since the last election, so make sure you stay tuned.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're going to turn towards the... let's call it the happier happy hour, Dom, here in just a little bit, but still time for your calls, as mentioned. 844-96-PARTY. Just kidding. We'll take them all next hour. Just a little tease.
I hear the music, man. Time to wind it down.
Just a little tease. There is Badger basketball going off this hour in many of the markets that we cover here at Civic Media. So if we lose you to the Badgers, don't forget, you can always stream us right here on the Civic Media app. Don't go away. We'll be back. We're coming back. Badgers don't even tip off for like 40 minutes. You're coming back with us on the stream, on the Devil Radio or the WAUK or wherever you listen. Just make us your 4 to 6 p.m. fix. 2 hours a day, that's all we're asking from you. That's
2 hours a day, 5 days a week. It's easy. Anybody can do that.
It's not even a part-time job. You're not going to be eligible for benefits, but you know we'll like you a lot if you listen all the time. It's not a big ask. Come back. Devil's Advocates. It's the happier, happy hour, the Monday edition. And we'll let Tom talk. Maybe.
Good and terrible.
The suspense is terrible. He's